Please keep your Bibles open there with me. In John, 1 John chapter 3, we'll also be referring to the Gospel of John chapter 3. I'll try to, as I go quickly through the sermon, I get excited sometimes. I'll try to make sure that I don't confuse us as a group today as to, wait, which chapter am I in? Because, oh, this is beautiful. So the message today, God is Father. And I mentioned earlier on the structure of the book of 1 John is in the form of a Hebrew sermon, actually. Okay? And what that means is it's spiral in structure. I want to be very careful not to let anybody think that I'm saying circular. It's not circular, because we use that term in our lives to talk about a circular argument or circular discussion. That's not it. It's spiral. What do we mean by spiral? Is that John, like a rabbinic teacher, like a spiritual leader and teacher, he's going to emphasize who God is and two primary descriptions, three primary descriptions of God in this book is God is light, God is love, and God is Father. And then he's going to apply that to us as his people. And so that's why you're going to read in the first go-around, which we're basically done with now as we move on into chapter 3. The first go-around is God is light. And if God is light, therefore his people do not walk in darkness. You see, you get it. That's the point. And that's how he's teaching as a teacher. Okay? And now we get to this point. And if you even began to know how much God loves you, you would be on your face. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. This is not a cliche phrase used in this text. We will, by the time we're done today, discover this reality. You've heard it said sometimes out in our culture. You've heard it said, some people say, aren't we all children of God? All God's children? Answer, biblically, definitively, no. And you're going to see it in the text. There might be something interesting in the text as we read it already today. And I have to deal with that. It's going to be a lot of fun, but I want to deal with it straight out of the text. Okay? If you know God the Father, if you know God in love, you know the God who does not sin. He is righteous. He is perfect. There is no sin in Him. And if you're His child, you also don't sin. What does that mean? Because the human experience, I'm just going to say it right up front, is this one of those pastor questions that you don't answer? Anybody sin this week? All right. So what does this mean? You cannot get off the main point of the person and identity of who God is and His love. So first of all, point number one. Everybody sing it with me. Why not? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Louder. Happy birthday, dear Christian. Happy birthday to you. Starting up, you see what's going to happen. Here's what we're going to focus on. Yes, the text is primarily chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. But look at the book ending. Look at the way John writes. Let the text show you what he's teaching. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is what? Born of Him. And we're going to do verses 1 through 9. Okay? But look how in verse 10, I'm giving you the context of the passage today. All right, verses 9 and 10, when we get to the end, look at the language. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. No one who is what? Born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is what? Born of God. By this, verse 10, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. So happy birthday. So now go to John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3. You can keep your finger there in 1 John chapter 3. Let's go to Gospel of John chapter 3. Okay? Because we need to talk about what it means to be born of God. We're going to use the same apostle, Apostle John. Okay? And I hope you have heard the teaching in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard that phrase, you must be born again? We're going to talk about that today because this is what John is teaching and this is what he's talking about. And this is your happy birthday gift. Welcome to the family. Who gave birth to you? Look at John. Let's actually keep your finger on verse 3. Flip over to chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. This is a theological theme. This is an emphasis. It's not just a theological theme. Okay, this is a reality in the way that God the Father works in the lives of his people. Gospel of John chapter 1, 12. But as many as received him, that's Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become, here it is, key phrase, what? Children of God. Even to those who believe in his name. So, I love to read scripture this way. Another simple way to think about studying the Bible and reading scripture. Any text you look at, ask the question, what is God doing? And then ask the other question, what is man doing? Man or woman, using the term generically. Okay? So you look in the text here, and it says, okay, what is man doing? Verse 12, but as many as received him. So what do you have to do? You have to receive Jesus Christ. To them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So you have to what? Believe. Have you, this is actually kind of fun, because in another language, in another country, when we served overseas, this is the way the Christians over there evangelized people in their country, in Southeast Asia. They asked people, have you received, believed? They use both words from this passage. Have you received, believed? In Jesus Christ. But remember I said, that's you got to look at what does a human being do, man or woman. Well, what is God doing? Now read the text, answer this question. What is God doing? John chapter 1, 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. God gives the right of adoption. God gives the right. You were once not his child. How do you get to be a child? And you guys, I was going to say the phrase pregnant with meaning, and I was just talking about children and adoption, so I'm now mixing metaphors. Okay, this is pregnant with the meaning of this. See, it's not just enough to be called a child of God. It comes with inheritance rights. Inheritance. What it means to be a child of God is that you get the father's inheritance to the child. Okay? It's biblical. It's beautiful. Even to those who believe in his name. So what does a human being do? You receive and you believe in Jesus Christ. But what does God do? He gives you the right to become children of God. And in verse 13, you must be born. How are you born? Not of blood. Oh, so you mean if my mom and dad were a Christian, and I'm born to my mom and dad who are Christians, then I'm not a Christian? Correct. Specifically negated with the word not. You must be born a certain way. Not of blood. It's not about your biological, genealogical birth. Nor of the will of the flesh. To try to be safe, I'll use the illustration of overseas. There were tribes. It was a very tribal country that we served in. And people would say, well, I'm this tribe, and so we're Christian, and they're another tribe, and they're Buddhist. And it was infinitely more a political stance than it was a true faith in Christ. I'm this, so I'm Christian. That's the will of the flesh. This is what makes me Christian, because I identify myself as Christian. Because we're Christians, this is how we vote. And this. No. For you to be given the right to be called a child of God, you cannot be born that way. Doesn't count. False right. Nor the will of man. Last three words of verse 13. Everybody say it with me. But you must be born of God. John chapter 3 then. And I just got to do this. I got to do it quick, okay? So you get to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a teacher of the law in Israel, a Pharisee. He comes to Jesus by night in John chapter 3. I'm just going to recount this quickly. He comes to Jesus by night. And Jesus says those famous words in John chapter 3, verse 3 to him. When Nicodemus comes and approaches Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God. Chapter 3, verse 2, as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, John, Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the story is going to go on. Can I go lightning speed? Can you all follow? How fast can you follow? On your mark, get set, go. Okay? How can a man be born? Count how many times the word born is used. Count them. Ready? Okay? You must be born again. Chapter 3, verse 3. Nicodemus, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter into his mother's womb and be born? He cannot do that a second time, can he? Verse 5. Jesus answers, truly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows. And now from Ezekiel chapter 37, Jesus, the supreme rabbi teaching Nicodemus, the under-rabbi of God's people, quotes the Old Testament text. Anybody remember Ezekiel 37? It's a vision of the valley of the dry bones. Remember the dry bones? And we have this funny song in my generation and older. So if you're younger in this room, right now you're gonna freak out and go, that's silly, what are you doing? If you're older in this room, you're going to go, what? That song applied to that? Anybody remember that song? Dry bones now. Knee bones connected to thigh bones connected. It goes through the whole body, right? Why do we sing that song? And why in that silly little preschool style song, when we sing that song, do we have the refrain? Now hear the... Because Ezekiel in chapter 37 was taken by a vision of God to see a valley of dry bones, and God asked him, can these bones live? And Ezekiel, the consummate prophet, answers correctly. He's not presumptuous. He says, Lord, you know. And what happens? So Jesus, the consummate rabbi, teaching to Nicodemus at night, the under rabbi, and chapter 3, verse 8 says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone, circle the word, born of the Spirit. How can these things be? Nicodemus says. Jesus answered, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand? Truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. I told you of earthly things and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Are you ready? Now, remember how I said count the words born? Remember that? Remember how I said count the words born? Jesus is still teaching, still in the same chapter, still in the same situation with Nicodemus. Nothing's changed. He's just still teaching. Now count the words believe. Ready? Any mark? Get set? Go. Verse 12. If I've told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how will you if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who in him is not judged. He who does not has been judged already, because he has not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. So here is the teaching. Have you ever been confused and wondered what born again means? The rabbi used an illustration, and then the rabbi taught the clear teaching. He repeated again and again and again, you must be born. Born again. Born from above. Born of the Spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then Nicodemus, in confusion, says, how can this be? And Jesus answers in clarity, clear, immediate application, believe. Remember John 1, 12 and 13? As many as received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right. So how are you born again? One, two, three. I believe in Jesus Christ. That's what born again means. And you have to be born of God. Happy birthday. Full belief comes from the same word to have faith. And it's not just only mental consent. It really is, because especially in that chapter and in that passage, Jesus is referring to Ezekiel 37. And it really is, there is sovereignty and there is choice in this passage. And it is when the Spirit breathes, when the wind blows, the word spirit and wind, by the way, in the original Greek, in the original language, is the same word. It's when the Spirit moves in a person's life and they respond, and they, dead bones, dead life, dead soul in a valley, are brought to life in Jesus Christ. And you and I would say, from a human perspective, I believed, I received Jesus. And then we would also say, from a biblical, from God perspective, but he blew in his Spirit upon my soul, and then I believed. And unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, which is in parallel to as many as believed. Whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Are you in the kingdom of God? Do you have eternal life? Have you believed in Jesus? Have you been born of God? God gives you birth, and then you believe. It's not the other way around. I believe in God, so therefore I'm his child. No. You must be born from above. Now go back to John chapter 3. 1 John. Epistle. 1 John chapter 3. Watch his teaching. Watch his teaching as we go through verses 1 through 9 now of 1 John chapter 3. If you are born into the family of God, where God is your Father, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. Chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 John. You are given a new life, a new birth into his kingdom, and have eternal life. And you also then, point 2, have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. By definition, the meaning of being a child of God is to also inherit what the children inherit from the Father. The ability to see the kingdom and the promise through your belief and faith of eternal life. And it all comes in Jesus Christ, who is both the King and the life. What else do you get? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and following. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. So you are transferred from the kingdom of the world and worldly family structure into the kingdom of God and God's family structure, where He is your Father and you are His children. So point three is your new family. Your new family. This is very similar to the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3. You can turn there with me and keep your finger in 1 John and Colossians chapter 3. Listen to how Paul describes this concept of being in Christ. Therefore, Colossians 3, 1 and following, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. You're, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are one, in a new family, a different family, and have a different identity. And this is why the gospel writers, the apostles, the New Testament writers, the Apostle John and 1 John, Paul in Colossians, has to constantly keep reminding us that though we live in the world, we are not of the world. If you are born of God, you are now to live in the kingdom of God for His glory. Why do you keep entertaining the things of the world? Do we not see how great a love that God has poured out on us? A love that will outlast this world. A love that is greater than the sin. A love that is greater than the issues and the problems that we fester over in our tiny little squeaky wheels of a mousetrap that we're stuck in. You were saved for God's glory. You are meant to be a child of the Father. How do we live that out? Look back at 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Now just let it all flow together. 1 John chapter 3, starting verse 1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. That comes with an inheritance. Just like John taught about it in Gospel of John chapter 1. And being born again in chapter 3 of Gospel of John. Now here, such we are for this reason, the world does not know us. You guys, the world is not privy to this. And there was a time when you and I might have been in the world, but we're no longer there. If you're a true Christian. And that's what the book is all about. If you're a true Christian, the world is not privy to the things we're talking about. If you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You don't even see this. Sorry, a little loud there. But if you're a child of God, and your soul resonates with the words of God's holy word in Scripture, and you see what is being said here, you thirst for this kind of life and inheritance. Beloved, we are children of God in verse 2. And it has not yet appeared as what we will be. Hey, guess what? There's more. I think I'll recognize you when we're transferred into glory. But you and me are going to look a little different. We have not yet seen what we're going to be. Our lives are hidden with God in Christ. And when He returns, woohoo! Put that into words. Everyone who has this hope, here it is, verse 3. Everyone who has this hope fixed on Him, purifies himself just as he's pure. So not only the points of the sermon now today, run them together. Not only should it be happy birthday if you're born of God. Not only should it be, hey, if you're born of God and you're given the right to be called a child of God, you have an inheritance that comes with that right, and it's called eternal life, which is given to you by God. But then you also have a new family. You're not of the world anymore. You're not in the world anymore. You live in his kingdom in new life. But then what? In verse 3, you set your life, because of future glory, you set your life now on present purity. Because of future glory, you set your life now on present purity. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him. What hope? That God's my Father. That God's eternal. That God's kingdom is real. And in Christ, through preachers for thousands of years now, this message has gone out called the gospel. And in Christ, people are invited to step into this kingdom. And they step into it and they get something of a tiny little earthly wisp of eternal kingdom. And in Christ, they get the beginning of the seedling of what eternal life is going to be like. And they also have the promise that when we see Christ face to face, it's going to be the most amazing thing you've ever experienced. And it's going to make everything in this life look like nothing compared to knowing Christ. And if that hope is in you, then you live your life today for the future of eternity. If that hope is in you that one day you're going to stand and face Christ who died for you and rose again, you live today different. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself as he is pure. You cannot claim to know God and live in a constant life of sin. You will want to purify yourself. True Christianity versus false Christianity. And then we get into the end of the passage. And watch this play out, okay? Happy birthday, your inheritance, your new family, future glory means present purity in the life of the true believer. But now watch this, and we have to do this because it comes up in this order in this text. Watch how he concludes this, and I titled point number 5. Not my kid. Not my kid. Now, I've sometimes used an illustration like this to talk about being children of God, and here's the concept. If we did just an earthly biological thing, I'm just going to play a tiny bit with a concept. Okay, it's just an illustration. Let's pretend, we don't have to do it, but we all got up in a big circle around the room, and we all mixed each other, and some people know each other, and some people don't know each other. And if the parents trusted us with their children for just a little bit, we'd all stay in the room, but we'd mix the children among the adults. And then we would stop and play a game. And the game is, where's my kid? Do you think that just through human, biological, physical eyes, we could stand in this room in a circle, and we could put children with their parents, just by looking at them? Do you think we could do that? I think we could do that. Why? Because you guys should see my brothers and my dad. They look a lot like me. Genetic resemblance, right? We might be able to think about color of skin. We might be able to think about color of hair. We might be able to think about color of eyes. We might be able to think about someone's shape of their nose. We might be able to listen to somebody talk and they use the same phrase that their mom or dad used. And we might be able to, in that circle of friendship and fun, say, he's a Ganyo. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? If you're a child of God, you're going to bear the spiritual genetic of God the Father. You will. In the world now, let's take our illustration and zoom it way out and pretend that the whole world stood in the great big circle and look across the room at each other and say, which one's a child of God the Father? And that's what John's referring to here. And notice how he talks about it. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Going on. You know How do you read that? How do you do the inflection as a teacher, Sunday school teacher, or pastor? You know. You know? Don't you know? You know. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him, there's no sin. So if you are a child of the Father and you're born of him, you have the spiritual genetic of your heavenly Father, you're a liar if you continue to live a life of sin. Because the Father who gives you birth also gives you your life, your spiritual genetic. No one who abides in him, verse 6, sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Watch the language. Watch the language. Little children. Why does John call the believers children? That's what we're studying today. It's not just a little metaphor to kind of tease believers about their maturity or not. It's saying, you're children of the Father. And he's just done a differentiation. Did you see it? Did you see it? No one born of the Father keeps living in sin. Not my kid. Parents ever had that reaction to something your child did? Yeah. I'm going to just laugh out loud because all of a sudden it got real quiet. Your kid does something and you're like, I didn't teach him that. I don't know where he got that from. That's not what I say or do. Not my kid. I think that's what God the Father is saying in this passage. You want to claim to be of Jesus Christ, but you still live a life of sin? Not my kid. Now let's be careful to keep it balanced, because I love edge. I love preaching strong. Let's keep it balanced. What was the first verse in chapter 3? See how great a love the Father? See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us? If the love of the Father has been poured in you, you will live out the love of the Father, period. But we keep on with the differentiation here in 1 John 3:7. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him. I'm calling that the spiritual genetic, to use an illustration. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. And then verse 10, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Now we need to clarify as we bring this to a close what this isn't and what this is. Because do Christians still sin? And what is John saying in the passage? A lot of your translations use the word practices sin. Does anybody have practices sin? Or maybe in your translation you might have keeps on sinning. The phraseology in what John just said, and again, he's differentiating. If you're a child of the Father, and Jesus in God, the Holy Spirit, the God, the Creator, the Savior of Scripture and of this world, has no sin in him. So if you're a child of the Father, you will come to a point where you understand that sin in me then is not in parallel harmony with with God who saved me, because he's got no sin. So now let me remind you of the context of the book. We've had what we called a man named Cerinthus, church history of the same period of time, who was teaching that there's a difference between the material world and the spiritual world. We have this thing called proto-Gnosticism that was teaching that things that are physical don't matter, only things that are spiritual matter. And we have this thing called Doceticism, which is this aberrant error teaching about the kind of God that God is. And John writes to these people and says, we saw Jesus, we heard Jesus, we touched Jesus, the Christ, Jesus the Christ is God in the flesh, and he came. And if you accept that and believe that, you're a child of the true God. If you deny, and here's the danger that I've been wrestling with, I got to work really hard to make very clear for the church today. Cerinthus was using the name Jesus, but denying that he was the Christ. So the danger is that it was way too close to the same words. But if you deny that, if you deny that, you're not a Christian. You're not a child of God. You don't have the inheritance. You don't have a new family. You don't live to purify yourself now for the eternal future. You are not in the family. Not my kid. They were taking the name of Jesus and still, in their definition of religion, living lives of sin. And God will say, I believe, not my kid. I didn't give birth to that. I'm sinless. I'm holy. I'm love. And if I give birth to my child, you're going to learn to be sinless, holy, and love. Don't claim to be mine when you're not mine. Is Jesus that strong? Is it really that difficult? Watch what happens. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. 2 John chapter 7. Verse 7. It's almost one chapter. 2 John verse 7. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So let me tell you what's going on. Here's what this isn't. Now we're going to make even a further, bigger clarification. Because right now, some of you might be feeling like, bang, bang. I'm a sinner. I think I've known Christ, but I've got a bunch of sin in my life. Is that what we're talking about? There is an aspect of this moral, habitual, ongoing sin where a person doesn't repent. That's part of it. But there's more to it than that. How do we know? What's John really talking about? Obviously, from John, from the same book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 9, where he says, in the first person, using the word we, plural, we. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So can the Christian, even the apostle, have sin in their life? Okay, they can. They can. But is that what John is now talking about when you get to chapter 3? Now watch. Listen again. I read these before. I'm going to read them again. 1 John 2:22. Who's the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Son, the Father and the Son. See, the false teaching was that these people claimed Christ, but kept denying Christ. They claimed to be children of God, but they kept living either in the darkness or in sin. Their real primary ongoing sin, you guys, was as much doctrinal as it was moral. Are you catching what I'm saying? Let me put it in these words. If you are born of God, 1 John 1:13, John chapter 3, 1 John 3, if you're born of God, what will you do? You will receive, believe Jesus Christ. That God in His and then in your receiving and believing of your faith, you will turn to Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ. If that's never happened, and if you claim that you're somehow a Christian by the will of man, or the will of denomination, or the will of, my parents are all Christians, so that makes me a Christian too. If you've never been born again, if you deny the person of Christ, you're walking in habitual sin of denial of God. You see it? No one, he says in the text, who is born of God will deny Christ. No one will keep on sinning that way. It ain't going to happen. So the proof is in the pudding, you guys. The proof is in the pudding. Your whole life long, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, until the day you die. Will there ever come a time that you deny Christ, Jesus, God, Savior, Messiah? No one who is born of God will deny Him. You see? That's the import. 1 John 4:2, later on in the book, he's going to say, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." You are from God, little children, 1 John 4:4. Now let's close with this illustration. It's more than an illustration, it's biblical. John chapter 8, same author, apostle. John chapter 8. Jesus has a run-in at that period of time, during the period of Jesus' lifetime in the gospel account here in John chapter 8. He has a run-in with some Pharisees of the day. And what's very interesting, if we had time to look through the whole chapter, is that they're identified as Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 13. In John chapter 8, verse 30, it says, "Many came to believe." In John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in Him." But we have this problem in the book, in John chapter 8, Gospel of John, starting in verse 41, where Jesus is standing before a group of people who some of them had, text says, believed. But though they claimed to have believed the teaching of Jesus in the moment, they were also denying the person of Jesus standing in front of them. John 8:41. Jesus says to them, "You are doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come forth from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but He sent me. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Guys, you got to catch that. You got to catch that. It's the same thing that he's saying in 1 John. If there's no light in you, it means you're not in the light, who is God the Father. If you're not living like a child, it means you don't have the Father. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own initiative. Jesus goes on describing the devil, "For he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." I want to be very careful here. The original apostles were Jewish. So are there some people who came to follow Jesus Christ and they gave us the scriptures? And okay, don't do anti-Semitism, guys. That's evil. Don't do it. That's not what we're doing. In this historical account in John chapter 8, you see, though, this doctrine of how some came to Jesus. They even claimed to believe. And this is the thing. It's similar. It's differentiable, but it's similar. In the context of the letter of 1 John, it's Cerinthus and the false teaching, and they claim that the Christ came upon Jesus the man, and that the Christ separated from Jesus the man. And the Apostle John says that's just a lie and heresy, and if you believe that, you're not saved. In the time of the gospel, in chapter 8, there were some people who claimed to follow God, and they even believed in Jesus. And Jesus says, "You're of the devil." I think there's people in this room who are of the devil. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not joking. My wife just giggled. I love you. I don't buy it for one second. You can tell me all day long that you believe in Jesus. Show me. Stop playing the religious game. This is about your eternal life. You going to cause me any trouble? No. What do you believe? Are you born again? Do you deny Christ? Do you deny who He is? Do you want Him just for the benefits? Or have you been born of the Father? Will God come to you and say, not my kid? Or will God come to you and say, look at the amount of love I poured out on my child? I want to stop playing religion in America. I'm sick of it. Who will stand in Christ? Anyone? God our Father, consecrate us today unto your love. God our Father, take away the idols of our lives. Lord Jesus, if there's anyone in this room who's not yet born again, may your Spirit blow on them and save them to the uttermost. God, we do not want to be children of the devil. We want to be children of the true God and your kingdom. Lord Jesus, we don't want to play religion with you anymore. Save us. Have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, we thank you above all things that you died on the cross for our sin. You are sinless. We have sin that needs to be cleansed. Forgive us of our sin. If we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Lord Jesus, I don't want to play games with you anymore. I pray that we would be a church of people who are known to be children of the Father, and that we would purify ourselves today, living and looking forward to the future glory. Lord God, make us what you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.